We want to welcome you to the Bible teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, where our desire is to honor God by faithful obedience to His Word. If you want to understand the Bible better, please continue to listen. You can reach us with questions or for more teaching audio and print material at our website, fbcaa.org. You can also watch our services live at fbcaa.org/live. We want to thank you for listening and pray that you will be edified.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Grateful for the opportunity today to also welcome to our pulpit somebody who's never been here before speaking, and that is Pastor James Lorch. And we are so grateful that he agreed to our invitation to come, and he was at the very top of the list for us to invite to come and speak, and it's just a privilege to be able to see a father, minister, and his son entering into ministry as well alongside of him. So that's a real privilege, and we invite Pastor James Lorch now to come and share with us the word. After he speaks, we'll have a song, and then we'll gather the deacons and myself and Pastor Lorch up here as well. We'll have a special ordination prayer time followed by another hymn, and then it will be lunch after that. So that's the order of service, and hopefully it'll all go just smoothly for us. All right? Brother, please come. Welcome, and thank you.
It is a great, great privilege and joy to be able to be a part of this ordination service this morning. Thank you, Pastor Matt. Thank you, Pastor Jansen, for inviting me to be a very special part of my son's life and the life of this church. And I'm thankful for how God has worked in my son Jansen and all of my kids. I have four children. Two of them, in addition to Jansen, are here this morning. We have one in West Virginia, not able to be here, but grateful that there's no greater joy than to know that your children are walking in the truth. Amen. And I, as a dad, am very grateful and filled with joy this morning for all my children and their love for the Lord. And especially this morning as we think of Jansen and how God has worked in his life. I'm so thankful as a dad to have watched him come to Christ as a child and then grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord over the years and feel led to go to Bible college and obedient to the Lord there. And then while he was there, just sensing God is indeed calling him into the ministry and to serve him. And then to meet his beautiful bride, my daughter-in-law, Kaylee, there at Appalachian Bible College. And then to grow into being a godly husband and a godly father to his children. And then to come here and to minister and to serve. And so it's been a journey. And it's wonderful to see how God has worked in his life to bring him to this point. So very, very thankful for that. I'm thankful for this church. Thank you for your part in helping him to grow and develop as a pastor. And under Matt's leadership and his mentoring of him over the years here. So we are very, very grateful. My wife and I are grateful for that. Thank you for being such a wonderful encouragement to my son and to his wife and family. So thank you for being a very special part. My message is first and foremost this morning going to be directed to Jansen, kind of a charge to him. But don't worry, there is application for each of you here this morning that I'll bring out as we go through this charge from God's Word. My charge is really very simple this morning. I want to charge you, Jansen, to be a good shepherd of God's flock. That's it. Be a good shepherd of God's flock. 1 Peter 5:2, we read Peter writing to the elders. He says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. Shepherd God's flock. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. The word translated shepherd is the Greek word from which we get the word pastor. That's why we call them pastors, right? Because they are shepherds of God's flock. And so maybe the next time that you greet Pastor Matt or Pastor Jansen, you could just say, hey there, Shepherd Matt, Shepherd Jansen. Because that's really what you're saying, right? You're acknowledging them as your shepherd and as your pastor. A few verses later in 1 Peter 5, verse 4, Peter identifies Jesus as the what? Chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. So really, Pastor Matt and Pastor Jansen or any pastor is really just an under-shepherd, right? There is the chief shepherd that we ultimately follow. And these guys are under-shepherds seeking to be faithful. John 10:11, Jesus says, I am the good, what does he say? Good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd. Amen? Jansen, you must strive to be a good shepherd like Jesus. That's what you need to strive to do with God's help. King David was a shepherd, right? Before he became a king, he was a shepherd. And so he wrote the beloved Psalm 23, which Jansen read a little bit ago. Psalm 23 begins with, the Lord is my shepherd, shall not want. We know that he is a good shepherd. Amen? Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. So what does a good shepherd do? And that's what we want to think about this morning. What a good shepherd does. And I believe we can discover the primary responsibilities of a good shepherd in Psalm 23. And so that's why I've selected this as our primary passage this morning. So I invite you to turn with me there in your copy of God's Word so we can look at Psalm 23 together. This is going to be my primary text. We are going to look at some New Testament passages that develop these responsibilities. But this is going to be our springboard from which we are going to follow and learn about being a good shepherd. Jansen, I want to charge you to be a good shepherd of God's flock by fulfilling four primary responsibilities which are found in Psalm 23. And these are responsibilities that I took seriously as I've pastored God's flock over the years, 30 years of being a pastor. These are four responsibilities that I took very seriously and shaped my ministry as a pastor. The first responsibility to fulfill as a good shepherd can be found in verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 23. Let's read these words again together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. A good shepherd seeks to ensure that their flock is well fed. Amen? They need to be nourished. They need to be led to green pastures where they can feed and be healthy. Well-selected pastures. And so that's why he said, I shall not want. I shall not be in want. My needs, my basic needs being fed are being met. And so he makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's the kind of good shepherd that we have as our God. After his resurrection, Jesus asked Peter a question three times in John 21. Remember, he had just failed him not long before, three times, denying Jesus. And I love this. I love the love that Jesus demonstrates to Peter, who had just failed three times. Do you remember what he asked him? He said, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you, right? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Hearkening back to his three failures. And you might expect somebody in their humanist to say, "Well, remember, you failed me three times. I don't know if I can really use you." He didn't say that. He loved on Peter. And in fact, he says, "Peter, I got something for you to do. I know you failed me three times, but I'm going to use you in your humanness, in your weakness." And he says, "I want you to what? Feed my sheep." Three times. "Feed my sheep. Shepherd. Tend my sheep." That's Jesus' charge to Peter. One of the last things that he charges him with is, "Go feed my sheep." So I would say that's pretty important. Wouldn't you? Amen. And so that's the same thing that Jesus wants you to do, Jansen. Pastor Matt, or any pastor, right? "Feed my sheep." Now hold your place in Psalm 23. Stick your bulletin there, your finger, whatever. But turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, where we learn how pastors feed his sheep. So we want to develop this stuff. 2 Timothy 2, 4, 1 through 5, let me just read these words and then we'll expound on them. He says, "I charge you therefore," and remember, he is speaking to Pastor Timothy, a young pastor who he is mentoring, and he gives a charge to him, just like we're giving a charge to Jansen here this morning. He says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." What does he say? "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, Timothy, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." Jansen, fulfill your ministry. And what is the core of your ministry? Preaching the word. Amen? That's how he begins his charge. Preach the word. Don't preach your own ideas. You're not just here to entertain, make people feel good. You need to preach the word. And I appreciate Fellowship Bible Church. It has Bible right in the middle of the name, but you don't just have it in your church name. You live by that. Thank you, Pastor Matt, for your leadership and modeling that for Jansen, for each of you. Because I know that Pastor Matt is committed to preaching the word. Amen? Amen. And I know that my son is as well, and I'm thankful for that. So Jansen, preach the word. That is how you what? Feed my sheep. And be ready in season and out of season, when it's popular, when it's not popular. When it's difficult, when it's easy, at all times, right? Got to be committed to it. When persecution comes, when difficulty comes, whatever it might be, in season and out of season, keep on preaching the word, which is feeding the flocks. And then he says, convince. That's correcting wrong thinking, right? we need our thinking corrected. Lots of times in the Word of God lines up our thinking all the time. So convince by preaching the Word. And then rebuke, and that's correcting sinful living. And that's hard, right? We don't like to hear about our sin. But God wants us to come to repentance in those things. So convince, rebuke. Sometimes you need to rebuke. And then exhorting. And that's motivating people to godliness, right? Exhorting each other. Let's live for the Lord. Let's follow the Good Shepherd, whatever the message is. Do all of that with what Paul says is long-suffering and teaching. You know, a preacher is also a teacher. You know, there's more times in the Gospels that it says Jesus was teaching than it says he was preaching. And I think we ought to take note of that as pastors, right? As leaders. Yes, preaching appeals to the heart and to the mind, and we need to hear the preaching of God's word, but through it all, there needs to be sound teaching, right? We need to be taught the word of God so that it renews our minds. And so, Jansen, do it with long-suffering and teaching. Really, a pastor is a pastor teacher. Have you ever heard that? Pastor teacher Matt, pastor teacher Jansen. Because as you feed the flock, you need to be teaching the flock as well. And he says, do it with long suffering. That means great patience. Why do we need patience as a pastor? Well, because it's difficult sometimes. There's difficulties. There's challenges. People have itching ears, as he goes on to say, right? Heaping up for themselves teachers that they want to hear, and it's difficult. And so do it with long suffering. Be patient with the flock. Sheep are not known to be very smart, right? There's a video out there, you may have seen it, of a guy pulling a sheep out of a ditch, yeah, all muddy, and the sheep goes running and jumps right back into the ditch. So do you need patience as a pastor? Yes. So he says, do it with great patience. And then Peter closes his charge by saying, do the work of an evangelist. Now, a pastor is not primarily an evangelist. They may not have the gift of evangelism. They're called to shepherd God's flock, but they still need to preach the gospel, right? And as Jansen leads his family and going down to Chile to plant a church, he's going to need to preach the gospel. Amen? And so Jansen, as you go down there, do the work of an evangelist as well by sharing the gospel, sharing the good news, and finally fulfill your ministry. So this is a wonderful passage that brings a charge to any pastor. Amen? That develops the thought of feeding the flock. In order to properly feed the flock, you must be doing some things, Jansen. First of all, be feeding on the Word of God yourself. It's a temptation as a pastor in the busyness just to feed on the Word when you're preparing to feed the flock. But guess what? You need to be feeding on the Word of God yourself, making that a priority. Jesus, of course, had said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live on bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Jansen and Pastor Matt, or any pastor, needs to feed their own soul so that they're preaching from a full cup. Amen? Secondly, you need to be diligent in your study. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says to young Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? And that takes time. That takes energy. Some people in the world just think, well, what do pastors do? They just preach on Sundays and they golf during the week and they just enjoy life and then they come and preach on Sunday. That's a lot of work to labor in the Word and to rightly divide the Word of truth. Amen? So in order to properly feed the flock, Jansen, you need to be diligent in your study. Make study and sermon preparation a high priority. I always did that in my ministry. There's lots of other things you can do as a pastor, but you need to be prepared to feed the flock. Amen? Third, be declaring the whole counsel of God. Paul, when he was going to Ephesus and met up with the Ephesian elders and Miletus in Acts 20, verse 27, he says, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Now, not all at once. He's not saying, you know, feed them like a fire hose. But over time, you know, don't exclude things from the Word of God. Teach the whole counsel of God. That's the only way to properly feed the flock, right? And then lastly, number four, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech. And we see that in Titus 2, 7 through 8, where Paul writes, in your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. So show integrity in your teaching. Seriousness. That doesn't mean you throw some humor in there from time to time, but you're not there to entertain, right? You're dealing with the Word of God. And so it's serious business, what God is doing, and then soundness of speech as well. Now, for all of us, what's the application here? I promised I would have application for each of us here today. Stay committed to sound doctrine, right? To the Word of God, to feeding on the Word of God, coming each Sunday, taking advantage of all the opportunities that as much as you can to be fed the Word of God. Amen? Because we need that constant feeding. You may not remember every sermon that Pastor Matt preaches. Sorry, Pastor Matt, but you know we don't remember all of it, right?
I don't.
Do you remember what you had two Sundays ago for breakfast or dinner? You may not remember it all. You may not remember every meal or everything you're fed, but it is having an impact in your life. It's feeding constantly on the Word of God. We don't stop. You don't stop eating. So keep on feeding. And don't turn your ears away from truth, right? Don't have itching ears. Say, I want to hear what God's Word says, and I want to be convinced and rebuked where I need to be rebuked and corrected and exhorted. So take that in. And be thankful that your pastors preach the Word. Are you thankful for that? Be thankful. Allow them to correct wrong thinking, to correct sinful living, and to motivate you to godliness. And let me add, be a good Berean. Make sure that you're testing to see that what they're teaching you is true, right? They want you to do that. And if you have questions, talk to them about it. The second responsibility of a good shepherd can be found in verses 2 and 3 of Psalm 23. So let's go back to Psalm 23. And this second responsibility is simply this. Lead the flock. Lead the flock. Verses 2 and 3 of Psalm 23, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Leads, right? Leads me. He restores my soul. What does he do? Leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Our Lord leads us beside still waters. Aren't you thankful for that? Refreshing waters. In fact, he is the fountain of living water. And living water even wells up within us as believers. So he indeed leads us, right, beside still waters. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. He directs us so that we can live rightly for his honor and glory, but also for our good. It's for his name's sake. Glorify him. And again, it's for our good as well. A good shepherd does not drive the flock. Do you know that? Cattle are driven. They just need to be pushed. But if you try to do that to sheep, what will they do? They'll scatter. They need somebody to get out in front of them and to lead them. And so, Jansen, it's not your job to drive the flock, to tell them, You got to, you just like exhorting them to the fact that, like, hey, I'm kind of like your boss, bossing you around. That's not how you lead the flock, right? You lead them as a good shepherd by getting out in front and saying, follow me. Follow me. I love what Jesus said in John 10 about his ministry as a shepherd to us. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Why do they listen to his voice? Because the shepherd has built a relationship with his sheep. And another shepherd calls and they don't pay attention. But they know their good shepherd. And they hear his voice. And they follow him. And he says, I know them. He knows them individually. And they follow him because there is that trust relationship. And so for a pastor to properly lead his flock, he needs to know the flock. Amen? Build a relationship there so that they follow. Shepherds of the flock of God are called to lead the flock, and we see that in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. Again, keep your finger or a bulletin in Psalm 23 and jump into the New Testament for a moment here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Let me read these to you and then expound upon them. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. And what does he say? Shepherd, the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Shepherd the flock of God, he says, serving as overseers. I love the word serving there, right? You're leading, you're shepherding by serving. Serving the flock. And so be a servant leader, Jansen. Not lording it over the flock, amen? But being a servant leader, you're serving the flock. You're overseeing the flock as a servant. Be like Jesus, who in the upper room washed the disciples' feet. It blew their minds, especially Peter. Lord, what are you doing? He says, just as I did, I want you to go and do the same. Be a foot washer. Jansen, be a foot washer. Be that kind of a servant, leader, pastor that washes the disciples' feet. The word overseer here in these verses comes from the Greek word episkopos, which means to inspect or to look after, highlighting the duty to supervise, to guide as a leader and care for the well-being of the flock. How can you be a good servant leader to God's flock, Jansen? Do it willingly, he says, not by compulsion, not because somebody is forcing you, but because you love to do it, and you do it out of a strong desire. Keep that passion there to do it willingly, and then do it eagerly, not for dishonest gain. In other words, lead with passion, eagerly, right? With enthusiasm. This is God's flock that I'm having the privilege to shepherd and to feed and to lead. And so do it eagerly and with passion and with vision. The flock needs to feel like they're going somewhere, right? Leading them to green pastures, not just the same one, but having vision of how we are growing as a church. And when you plant a church down there, give vision to it and leadership and do it eagerly. Amen? Don't serve those entrusted to you as a dictator or lord. You're not their boss. You're their servant leader. Peter goes on to say that you should be a good shepherd by being an example to the flock. And I think this is the most important core of leadership. as a pastor, being an example to the flock to follow. Be like the apostle Paul, who said, follow me as I what? Follow Christ. That's what a pastor, a good shepherd, should be doing. Follow me as I follow Christ. See how I am seeking to live for Jesus. See how I'm giving a priority to God's word in my life. See how I'm seeking to raise my family and to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and to build in their lives. And see how I love my spouse. See how I seek to witness to others and have a passion for God's church. All of these and more, right, is a way that a pastor can be an example to the flock and to guide them and to lead them. Paul said in Philippians 4:9, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. A pastor, a good shepherd, should be able to say that. Amen? Jansen, if you fulfill your shepherding role well, when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive a crown of glory that will not fade away. There's a reward for being a good shepherd. Amen? And leading well. So what's the application for all of us here this morning? Follow your pastor's leadership. As long as they're seeking to follow Christ and model Christ and teaching you well, follow them. Get behind them. Don't make it harder than it needs to be. It's already difficult. It's already challenging. Pastors need encouragement. They need a flock that's going to follow them and encourage them as they seek to lead them. And most importantly, follow the chief shepherd. As much as it is good to follow Pastor Matt, Pastor Jansen, it's the best and it's the ideal to make sure you're following the chief shepherd ultimately. Amen? The third responsibility of a good shepherd could be found in verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 23. So jump back to Psalm 23. And this responsibility is to protect the flock. So feed the flock. What's the next one? Lead the flock. And the third one is protect the flock. And we see that in verses 4 and 5. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Aren't you thankful for that? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Sheep are very defenseless, right? Very. That's an understatement, right? They can easily be attacked and killed by wolves or other predators without a good shepherd protecting them. Sheep don't need to fear when their good shepherd is there with them. That's comforting to those sheep, right? Because their rod and their staff are there to protect them and to guide them. The rod was typically a short, stubby club used for defense against predators and for discipline of the sheep as well. While the staff was a longer stick with a hook on the end used for guiding the sheep, retrieving them when they're stuck in a ditch, all covered by mud, and they jump back in again, in rescuing the sheep, right? So a good shepherd has the rod and the staff to provide comfort to the sheep and to help them. As they seek to protect them against predators and dangers all around. A good shepherd provides food in the presence of the enemies, a table, right? A place to eat in the presence of enemies that are always, always around. They don't know when the wolves are going to show up, right? They're just there. And they're around and they're prowling. And Peter brings this out spiritually with our enemy. He says, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a what? Roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we have a spiritual enemy that pastors are seeking to protect the flock from. But we don't need to be afraid because he is with us. I'm talking about the chief shepherd, first and foremost. Paul exhorted the Ephesian elders to protect the flock in Acts chapter 20. Keep your finger in Psalm 23. Keep your place there, but jump over to Acts 20 for a moment, starting with verse 28. Let's develop this in the sense of a shepherding pastor. Paul, again, is on his way to Ephesus, to Jerusalem. And on the way, he stops at Miletus, and the Ephesian elders come. And he is speaking to them as shepherds of the flock, right? And so that's the context here. He says, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God." Do you see that theme? Shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Was Paul passionate about this? Warning them for 3 years, watch out, protect the flock. There are dangers. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. They're coming from without, and watch out, they can even rise up amongst your own. And they won't spare the flock. Their aim is to hurt the flock. Protect them from men who rise up within the flock as well, who speak perverse things. And sometimes that happens in churches and ministries, right? People coming in trying to draw disciples after themselves and lead the flock another direction. And pastors have a responsibility to watch out for that, right? And protect the flock that God has made them overseers of. To protect the flock, pastors like Matt and Jansen must be on the alert. And that's why he says in verse 28, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock." But notice, take heed to yourselves first. Guard against being spiritually lazy, Jansen, undisciplined, prayerless, or weary in well-doing. Take heed to yourself as well. Because the enemy, he's out there to take you down. He's prowling around like a roaring lion seeking to devour leaders, right? Because if he can take the leader down, take the pastor down, how much more injury does he do to the whole flock when that happens? And we've seen that happen, haven't we? We hear about that happening. And our hearts ache. And so that's why he says, first of all, take heed to yourself. Watch out, you've got an enemy. Watch yourself first. And then he says, and to all the flock. Be alert to what is happening in the flock. What's influencing them? What's happening? What's the application to all of us? Remember, your pastors are striving to protect you from false teaching and spiritual dangers. Are you thankful for that? They're watching out for you. And that's a good thing. However, don't leave it all up to them. Look out for each other. If you see somebody getting pulled into some false teaching or pulled away in some way, come alongside them, especially if you're a more mature believer, to help them. It's not up to your pastors to do everything. You need to look out for each other. And as always, remember, unlike your pastors who can't always be with you throughout the week, they can't do that, but your chief shepherd can. He's always with you. So find comfort in his rod and staff as you walk through each week and each day. All right, one more responsibility, Jansen, to be a good shepherd, I want to charge you with, and that is a fourth responsibility found in Psalm 23, verses 5 through 6. So again, jump back to Psalm 23. And this charge, this responsibility is to care for the flock. Care for the flock. What's the first one? Feed the flock. lead the flock, protect the flock, and fourthly, care for the flock. We see that in verses 5 through 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A good shepherd cares for the flock by anointing the sheep with oil. Now, why do they do that? Well, shepherds use oil to treat and protect the sheep's wounds and keep insects away from their heads. Their ears and eyes can be targets for tormenting insects. Sheep have been known to bash their heads against rock walls to dislodge flies from their ears, noses, and eyes. What does that do to that sheep, right? It just makes it worse. So a good shepherd knows that poured out oil forms a barrier, protection against these things that would torment and injure the sheep. And so they anoint their head with oil. By anointing our head with oil, God brings healing. He brings comfort to our brokenness. Aren't you thankful for that? He's soothing our hurts. He's protecting us from the turmoil of life, carrying us through. Sometimes even, you've seen that, carrying us. That's how much he loves us. He cares for us. A good shepherd cares for the flock by keeping their eye on each individual, not just the flock as a whole. Remember, the good shepherd knows his sheep. He takes time to inspect them, showing goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy following them. Why? Because the good shepherd is there showing goodness and mercy and compassion and love for the sheep. All of these things demonstrate immense care for the flock. Amen? Not surprising, the New Testament instructs elders to care for the flock. James 5:14, is anyone among you sick? What should they do? Let him call for the elders of the church. Again, the elders are the spiritual overseers or shepherds of God's flock. Call for the shepherds of the church, so to speak, and let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. A good shepherd cares for the needs of the flock, visiting the sick, anointing them with oil. And I've actually done that with some over the years at their request. Anointed them with oils and setting them apart. It's not a guarantee of healing, but it's a way to say, God, we are giving them especially to you as they walk through this time with cancer or whatever it was. And we've seen God answer prayer there, but we do it humbly, but at their request. It's a biblical thing to do. But a good shepherd, they visit the sick. They do that because they care for the flock, and they pray with them, and they pray for them, comforting the bereaved. That's an important time for a pastor to be there when you lose a loved one. Amen? Showing care, showing love through those difficult times of life, officiating funerals. And I've done my share of officiating over the years. It's much easier to do it for a believer who loved Jesus. Somebody that didn't know Christ, or you weren't sure. Providing biblical counsel. That's one way of caring for the flock. You know, when they're in trouble and they're hurting and their marriage is struggling, what do I do? My children are out of control. Can you help me? These are ways that you can care for the flock, helping through difficult times, a loss of a job, whatever it might be. Demonstrating genuine care for the flock, caring for their hearts. They need to know that they are loved by their good shepherd. Amen? I love the statement, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So I think the impact of the Word of God and the preaching really goes up exponentially when you're really caring for the flock. A good shepherd genuinely cares for the flock like Jesus. Again, John chapter 10, verses 11 through 15, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's what he did as a good shepherd. He laid down his life for each and every one of us. I would say that's genuine care, right? But a hireling, he was not a shepherd. One who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. Why? Because they don't really care for the flock. It's just a hireling. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. But Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. It's a two-way relationship. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. Again, genuine care. And so if you're going to be like the good shepherd, genuinely care and love on the flock. And they need to know that they're loved. Again, John 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. They follow me because I know them. I care for them. I'm part of their life. So what's the application to all of us? Your pastors are not omniscient. You know that, right? There's only one who knows everything about us and all of our needs, and that's our chief shepherd. So they don't always know when you're hurting or struggling. Let them know. Like James says, call them. I'm sick. I need your help. I want you to come. They don't always know everything because they're not omniscient. Share things with them. They care about you. They need to know how to best pray for you and share in your struggles and help you in any way that they can with the Lord's help. And remember, pastors are not exempt from hurts and struggles. You know that, right? Missionaries aren't either. They're all just people, just like you, just trying to be obedient to the Lord. And so they need your care and encouragement too. They need you to encourage them. It's not a one-way street. Build them up. Keep them going too, because they have their hurts and struggles. Disappointments, discouragements, right, Pastor Matt? It happens. We all know that if we've been in ministry for any period of time. And so be there for them as well. And always remember, the chief shepherd deeply loves and cares. He gave his life for you. If you ever doubt his love, look again to the cross. That's why we need to keep the cross in front of us all the time. And I love churches that have a cross. My church had that as well. And I'd often point to it because we've got to remember the cross. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. My chief shepherd loves me. His goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. In conclusion, Jansen, I charge you to shepherd the church of God by fulfilling the four primary responsibilities of a good shepherd. Make these the core of your ministry over the years, and you will find good success, I believe, with the Lord's help. Number one, feed the flock. Number two, lead the flock. Number three, protect the flock. And number four, care for the flock. That's it. There's a lot there, though. That'll keep you very busy. Yes, it does. Build your ministry around these four primary responsibilities, not only here, as you have been doing, I believe, amen, but do it in Chile, in Arica. The church that God helps you plant there. Do these same things. Keep these things. And remember, first and foremost, feed my sheep, right? Keep that as a priority. And look to the chief shepherd as your good shepherd for guidance and comfort. Amen? And seek to be like him. Seek to be like him. Be a good shepherd like Jesus. You're not going to be perfect like him, but strive and go in that direction. All the time. A few other ways to apply this message as we conclude. If you're a father, how many of you are dads here? And I don't care if your kids are young or older, you still have a role in this. Seek to be dad, the family shepherd. Ever heard that before? Dad, the family shepherd. Feed your little flock, dads. Lead your little flock. Seek to protect them from evil and harm, right? And strive to care for them. Might they know that they're loved by you, loved by their dad. Man, that makes a huge difference in children's lives when you do all those things. And moms, you may not be the chief shepherd, so to speak, in your home. Your husband's the lead, but you better be getting behind him, right? And seeking to do things in tandem with him. You still have a responsibility to work alongside your husband to feed, lead, and I'm not just talking about preparing the meals, but giving them God's word, right? Feed them, lead them, protect them, and care for your little flock along with your husband. And again, if you're a part of this flock, the Lord wants you to be fed, led, protected, and cared for, and so do all that you can, as I said before, to encourage them and support them in that effort. Amen? Finally, being a good shepherd is not easy. Sheep often get themselves in trouble. It takes lots of time and energy to do these things, so let your pastors know, not just in the month of October, Pastor Appreciation Month. Please do it throughout the year. Let them know that you appreciate all that they're doing and make sure that you honor them. 1 Timothy 5:17, my closing verse, let the elders who rule well, or the shepherds who rule well, be counted worthy of what? Double honor. Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. And so that's my closing encouragement to you as a flock here. Support them in that. They're worthy of double honor. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word that guides us. We thank you for being the chief shepherd. And we thank you for King David, who was inspired, especially with his background, to write Psalm 23 under inspiration by the Holy Spirit. And gives us a picture of you as our good shepherd and how you care for us and lead us and do all these things that we just talked about. So many things that we can glean from it personally and as pastors as well. Learning how to be a good shepherd, because you are a good shepherd, and we thank you for that, Lord. And so, God, we just pray that you'd help us as we finish off this service with a little more worship and then a laying on of hands and praying for Jansen and Kaylee, their family, and dedicating him in a special way to you, commissioning him to fulfill the ministry that you have led him to and called him to. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said.
That was an excellent exposition of God's word. Thank you for bringing that to us today. We are here to charge and to also commemorate this ordination. Just a word of explanation about the whole process. As you know, Jansen was interning here with us for a couple of years. Took a little time off and stepped aside. We then called him to be our assistant pastor as he continued to train at seminary, and he and I would meet regularly, every week practically, for the last 6 years. We've met together to go over sermons, shepherding, discipleship work, study the word together, talk about questions and answers and things. And so we've put a good bit of effort into that part, taking it seriously what Paul said to Timothy, to pass on the things that you've learned to other faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And so we want to do that with Jansen and with others as well, as we have opportunity to do so. The church, recognizing as Jansen developed in his ministry capability and preaching and leadership, called for an ordination council by a majority vote. And then we invited some pastors and seminary professors to come and examine Jansen's doctrine. Remember, we did that in October. And then he did pass and did an excellent job with that ordination exam. For those of you that were here, you know that, and we can assure you that that is indeed the case. It showed that he, as the King James would say, acquitted himself well, and he did do a good job. So subsequent to that, we called the church together again to consider the recommendation of the ordination council. That council gives a recommendation to the church that this candidate has given a satisfactory testimony of faith, called a ministry, and expression of his doctrine and defense of that. We take that along with all of the other things that we've observed in Jansen's life, his family life, his ministry here among us, and personal life, and we decide whether it seems to us that God has called Jansen to ministry and whether we can get behind that and give a formal recognition, which we did a couple of weeks after the ordination exam. So it's a somewhat involved process, a few steps involved there, but we do that because this is nothing to mess around with. James chapter 3 and verse number 1 says, "My brethren, do not become many of you teachers, because you are going to receive the stricter judgment." And that verse, ever since I stood in the pulpit in this church 25 years ago for the first time, that verse has weighed on me whenever I stop to think about it, because I say, all I can say is, I'm in big time trouble. I'm telling you, the stricter judgment, God's judgment is strict enough, just the regular version, okay? You know what I mean? He is holy, and he is worthy of our best Christian life. And of course, if you're a minister, you have an outsized impact on others because of your teaching ministry. And so not just any old body should get into vocational ministry and be a pastor, but somebody who's faithful, somebody who's proven himself faithful, somebody who's not a novice. We are grateful that Jansen meets all of those requirements, and very, very well so. So I'm going to invite the deacons of the church to come up, as well as Pastor James Lorch again, as well as Jansen to come, and we're going to pray for him, and we're just going to have a little laying on of hands as we do that. You guys come right on up here, and what I'm going to ask is the men to pray as they feel led one by one. I will close that prayer time, and just come right up on here on the platform. And as one person is praying, the others will be setting their hands upon Jansen as we pray together. We invite you to join us as we pray and commend and dedicate Jansen Lorch to the gospel ministry, please. I'm going to ask our deacons to start out first in prayer, and then if they would like to, then Brother James, then myself.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we rejoice for this day that has finally come, Lord, where we can recognize that Jansen is your servant who you are calling out to become a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary. So we ask for your help for he and his family, Lord, that you would give them strength. Fill Jansen with the knowledge of your word, Lord, a love for you and your people, Lord, and equip him through the Holy Spirit, Lord, to have the spiritual gift of being a pastor, Lord. And I think of Acts 20:28, Lord, and we know our enemy does not like to see another pastor being equipped and sent out. So we pray for your protection, Lord. Uphold Jansen. Keep him from the corruptions of this world, Lord. Keep him faithful to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Dear God, I echo Ben's thanks for this day, one that has been planned and anticipated for quite some time. I had the unique vantage where, being about the same age with the same kids, we started somewhat as peers, but I've been able to see Jansen's skill in the word, his hospitality, his love, his care for the church to grow, frankly, well beyond what I can muster. I thank you for that calling, for that skill, for all of those things that have grown within Jansen. And I thank you that we have been able to benefit from that to date, though we won't benefit for too much longer here. I do pray for Jansen that he not squander that gift, that he not squander that ability, that he not hesitate to share the gospel, to share your word, to comfort your people, to guide and correct them where necessary. I pray that he can get to the end of his ministry and say with Paul, I am clean from the blood of all men, for I did not hesitate to share Christ among you. I pray that we can say that with Jansen and that he can receive a double well done, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, it's such an honor and privilege and joy to be here with my son Jansen, to be able to give him a charge from your word, and encourage his heart, and exhort him to fulfill the ministry that you have called him to. And God, so I thank you for that joy, no greater joy than to know that my children, all of them, are walking in the truth and seeking to serve you. But this morning we're especially focused on Jansen's desire to faithfully serve you. Thank you for his trusting Christ as a young child and then growing through the years, not without struggles and challenges just like all of us, God. But thank you for him responding to your leading and guiding and working as the good shepherd and obedience to you, trusting you each step of the way, going to Bible college, working his way through seminary and still trying to be a good husband and good father. God, lots of challenges that you have brought him through, lots of commitments. But God, you have been faithful to bring him to this point. And I thank you for this church and Pastor Matt and the role that they have played in his growth and development and their desire to be behind him as their sending church, as they anticipate eventually going to Chile to plant churches there and to have an impact for Christ there in that needy country, God. And so, God, I just thank you for that. And God, I pray that you would help him to fulfill the responsibilities of a good shepherd, faithfully feeding the flock, leading the flock, protecting the flock, and caring for the flock. These are high callings, God, and demand a lot and are a lot of work. And so, God, help him be his refuge and strength, present help in troubles that might come his way, that will come his way. But, God, just may he look to you and help him, God, to not neglect his family. God, too many pastors over the years neglect their families, all for the sake of the ministry. But, God, his first disciples are his children. And his first calling is to be a good husband and a good father feeding his own flock and leading them and protecting them and caring for them, God. So help him not to neglect that for the sake of the ministry, to find that balance, to keep the right priorities, his walk with you, his loving his wife as Christ loved the church, which is a high calling, and then loving his children and training them up in the way that they should go. So God, help him to be first and foremost faithful with those callings, and then obviously the calling that you have on his life, the leading and guiding and the desire that he has in his heart and life that you have helped place there as well. Help him to be faithful to those things, God. So we charge him, we encourage him, commit him to you in a very special way. In Jesus' name.
Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, high and mighty, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who from your throne reigns over all kingdoms, empires, and governments, we pray that you would look down in mercy, beseech thee on behalf of our church who have come to you in penitent faith, desiring to be henceforth dependent on thee. We appeal to you for your happy countenance and support, which only you can give. We pray in behalf of our brother Jansen this morning, take him, Heavenly Father, under your nurturing care. Give him wisdom and counsel. Give him valor on the field of missions. Defeat those unreasonable and wicked men who would trouble the work that Jansen and Kaylee would undertake for the sake of your name, both here and abroad. Confirm them in the righteousness of their cause and thus strengthen and establish and settle them in their calling, even when it is difficult. Preserve the health, Lord, of their bodies and the vigor of their minds. Shower down on them such temporal blessings as you see fit for them in this world and crown them with everlasting glory in the world to come. Lord, we're mindful to pray this morning for Kaylee, who is one with Jansen,
that they together undertake this ministry, she supporting him and he loving her. Together they will make a formidable couple to minister the gospel and the word of God to those to whom you call them. And so we commend them both. As we dedicate Jansen, we join dedicating Kaylee to this lifelong task of ministry. Lord, we ask that you will feed and lead and protect and nurture Jansen as he leads and feeds and protects and nurtures some little corner of your flock, some segment of those Christians who will be called into life and then called to everlasting life, over whom he is responsible. So, Lord, we dedicate him now to that task, to you, to your love for him, and may indeed it be the case that you will be his portion henceforth from today, now, and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jansen.
Thank you.